So many people have so many different ideas sometimes when it comes to the subject that Jesus is coming back. I've had one or two say, "Preacher, Brother Ron, whatever they call me, you need to preach a little bit more than you do on the end of time. We need this or we need that." And they're not here today, so that's the way that goes. No, I'm not trying to condemn anybody. It's a subject that has a lot to learn, and I certainly do not consider myself the authority and the one to go to when looking at the end of time. But today I want to talk about it just a little bit, about Jesus is coming back. That's what I want you to hear. Now, exactly all that's going to happen when he does, I'm not getting into all that, but I am saying to you today, Jesus is coming back. Do you believe Jesus is coming back? Do you know when he's coming back? If you do, we need to have a serious, serious talk, because I don't believe anyone does, and I'll prove that to you through Scripture here in just a minute. There are a lot of charts out there. There's a lot of theories out there. There's some that will get a chart out about as long as that back wall and all around through here and point to you and tell you this is exactly what's going to happen. And some go so far to say this is when it will happen. I'm not in that camp because I do not know when it will happen. Forgive me for my voice today, but it is what it is. Jesus is coming back. I believe that with all my heart, and I believe Scripture teaches it. There's days that can be scary in Mississippi and other parts of the world too. If you stepped outside some this last week, even the sky got dark quick. The thunder came, and you just step out in the atmosphere, it feels different. You know what that means? You do that too, don't you? Go outside every now and then, and it's just almost like it's a scary feeling in the atmosphere, and it can happen so quick to us. And things like that happen. Back in 1780, the Connecticut House of Representatives was in session, and the sky got like that overhead, got real dark and a scary time. And some of the representatives, this story says, said the world is ending. They thought it was all over back in 1780. And some were saying, "Let's adjourn this assembly." And at that point, the story says that Colonel Davenport rose from his seat and said these words. He said, "The day of judgment is either approaching or it is not. If it is not, there's no cause to adjourn. If it is, I choose to be found doing my duty. Therefore, I wish that the candles be brought in." So to him, if it's coming, it's coming. If not, I'm going to be doing my duty. I think that's a good standard for us today. It's interesting how people in this story here, back in 1780, react to the thought the world is ending. And people react to that today in all sorts of different ways. One big way is fear. Because they see it coming, or they think it's coming, and we know it's coming if we read the Scripture. The body of Christ should know Jesus is coming back. We should be waiting. We should be looking forward to His coming. We should know that it's a fact of Scripture. He is coming again. And for the saved people, we're okay. It'll be a good thing. We don't have to fear the Lord's coming, whenever that is. Several years ago, Charles Swindoll took a survey of some folks who had been to seminary, and he asked the question, "Do you think Jesus is coming again?" This is what I asked you just a moment ago. Do you think Jesus is coming back? You raised your hand. I hope this story's wrong, or this little thing is wrong, but I'm going to share with you what it said. His results was that 3% of those people said Jesus was coming back. It's got to be a misprint. It's got to be off. That only 3% of those seminary students said Jesus was coming back. If that's true, I wonder what the seminary was teaching. something besides the Bible. Must have been. John MacArthur tells of a time he was in a minister's convention in Illinois, and he was shocked to find that 90% of those ministers had no expectation that Christ would ever return. So now that's in a minister group, you know, and they're kind of all every direction themselves about, is Jesus coming back? I say to you, Jesus is coming back according to Scripture. He is coming back. It's kind of like the theological version of a little four-year-old boy. He said, "Mommy, when do I get to go to heaven?" She answered back. She said, "Well, when you die or when Jesus comes back." The little boy's eyes got real big, and he said, "Come back? You mean he was here before? You mean he was here before? Sure he was here before. We've got to teach the gospel. We've got to teach the birth of Christ. We've got to have the truth of God's word out to people that they'll know he was here before and that he's coming back." So, all kinds of ideas, I guess. But I submit to you, he's coming back again. And Matthew chapter 24. Now, all this is not going to be on the screen, so if you want to turn your Bible, you're welcome to. Matthew 24. And then we'll look at parts of it. But I want to read Matthew 24, starting at verse 36. And this is what the Bible says. "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. But up to the day, Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them away. That's how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken, the other left. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and not have let his house be broken into." Now, if you don't hear anything else I say, you need to hear this right here. Are you ready? Here it comes. "So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." So you also must be ready. If Jesus comes today, if Jesus comes tomorrow, if it's another 100 or 1,000 years, you must be ready. That's what I want this group gathered here today. That's what I want the people around me to know. Jesus is coming back. Scripture says so. And it says plainly, no one knows about the day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Now, the Father knows when the end of time is going to be. Jesus does not know. The angels does not know. There's not a preacher on the face of the earth that knows. Now, we have signs. We have some things to look at in Scripture too, but we do not know. But the Father knows. Jesus is coming back. The Father's the only one that knows when he will say to his Son, "Go get the church." Now, he knows that. But we don't know what time that will be. Verse 44, "So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." Be ready. "Who then is the faithful and wise servant, whom the master has put in charge of his servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, 'My master's staying away a long time,' and he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So there is Matthew 24, starting at verse 36. Look with me on the screen at 2 Peter 3, various verses. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare." Peter seems to be saying to me here that it's not that people don't know that Jesus is coming back. The scripture tells us that he's coming back. The Bible's clear, but they reject that possibility because it doesn't fit their belief system. They're going on with their evil desires. First of all, you must understand that in the last day scoffers will come scoffing and following their own evil desires. If they're following their own evil desires, they're not too concerned about what's going on. The quote Christian people, and I say quote, it's kind of like they go to the term years ago, you'd hear smorgasbord. That's a big buffet. That's a whole bunch of food. You put on your plate what you like and then put on your plate what you didn't like. As some quote Christians go through this word, they go through what God's given us to tell us how to live, and they put what they like on their plate and don't put on what they don't like. You can't pick and choose the word of God now. You've got to take the whole counsel of it. It's a whole deal. It's not just take what you like and ignore the rest. We take the whole counsel of the word of God. And Jesus describes what can happen to this kind of servant. Look on the screen with me at Matthew 24. 48 through 51, but suppose that a servant is wicked and says to himself, "My master's staying away a long time," and he begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with drunkards. The master of the servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and an hour when he's not aware of it. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now he's talking about the wicked servant here. And he describes that. He convinces himself, or however, that his master is, if he's coming, it's a long time off, and maybe he's not even coming at all. Now, if you have that mindset, you'll do things you wouldn't normally do. If he's coming back, or if it's a long time, that's kind of what I get that he was thinking here. He was kind of convincing himself that the master may not be coming back. He's staying gone a long time, he says. And he begins to live selfishly. Now, if you want to put one word on America, if you want to put one word on the church in America, I believe you can tag it with selfishly. Now, that's not popular. We don't like to hear it. But when it comes down to the church in America today, we've become very selfish. In the local churches, we're selfish people. In the states' assemblies, we're selfish people, wanting our own thing and our own time. It's all about us. It's all about our agenda. It's not about the kingdom agenda. It's about our agenda, and we get in trouble, and America, the church in America, is getting more and more trouble because of selfishness. And we need to understand that the Word of God also teaches that we sacrifice for the kingdom of God. Now, that's a word we don't want to talk about. That I would sacrifice what? That I would sacrifice time or talent or money or whatever the Lord would ask of me, that we would sacrifice of ourselves that the kingdom of God may go forward. Don't want to hear that one. Selfish is what he was here. And he began to live that way. Mistreat the other servants, it says. Hanging out with the worldly people. So what happens here? He starts thinking the wrong way. He has some bad theology. And it affects him because then it leads to bad companions. And then those bad companions, it all comes together with bad behavior. And that happens to us sometimes. We must be careful. If you don't think Jesus is coming back, you're prone to do things that you think you won't get caught at or whatever. I tell you, he's coming back through Scripture. He said it. He's coming back. You might remember the story back in 1999. It was employees of Boeing, and they thought they'd have a little fun. They were going to steal a raft off of a 747. I believe I remember this in the news even, but I might have it mixed up. And they were successful. They got that raft off of the 747. They took it on. Nobody saw them at that time. And they went to the water and they put it in. And it wasn't too long. The Coast Guard helicopter was hovering over them. And, you know, what in the world's happening here? When that thing was inflated, it set this warning off. And the Coast Guard, here they come. They're hovering over them. Why did they take it? They thought they wouldn't get caught. Nobody would know. But they did get caught. Because when that thing inflated, the warning system went off. The Coast Guard come and homed in on it. And there they were. Those lovely folks don't work for Boeing anymore. You wonder why, huh? Same thing with us. Peter said, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And then he says, look on the screen here at 2 Peter 3, starting at verse 11. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you be? Now, are you listening? What kind of people ought you be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speeding its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promises, we are to look forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Whenever this day comes, whatever's going on in life, listen, here's what's going to happen, and what kind of people ought we be? And he spells it out just as plain as day. He says, listen, we need to be people that are found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. We need to live holy and godly lives and look forward to his coming. You believe Jesus is coming back? Hands went up all over the building. You believe he's coming back? Yes, I believe he's coming back. Are you ready for his coming? That's the question. Are you anticipating that day? You know, and knowing that he's coming back again. Well, his return is coming. Judgment is coming. No one knows about that day or hour. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Now that's as plain can be in Scripture. And then he mentions Noah in this part of Scripture. Excuse me. Did Noah believe the flood was coming? Yes, he believed it. Did Noah think the rain could start at any moment? Yes, he believed that. He believed it. That's why he started building this boat. When everybody was making fun of Noah, when everybody was saying, you know, how foolish, Noah believed what God said to him, and he started building the boat. Other people didn't think much of it and laughed and whatever. Did the other people think the flood was coming? Did they believe God? Nope, they sure didn't. And they went on with life the way they saw fit, and then in the end, they were destroyed. So, and they lost everything. But old Noah, what did he do? He believed what God said. He believed what God had said. He knew that God was coming, and he was coming with judgment. And he preached that to anybody that would listen to him. He told people about that. And he worked that his family would be saved. That's what Noah did. He took serious what God had said to him. And that comes into this scripture here where it talks about the faithful steward, the faithful servant here. And he took the master serious, and he did what would please him. And you can tell, really, if people think Jesus is coming again by how they're living. Now, they can tell you all kinds of things about themselves. They can tell you what they believe in this, that, and the other, and on it goes. But you'll tell the people who really believe Jesus is coming back again because they live a godly life in this present world. They believe, sure enough, he's coming. They believe, yes, the world will be judged and the earth will be destroyed. And they live for God. They're ready. And they're telling people, other people, about Jesus Christ. They're talking about the saving grace. They're talking about what a Christian really is. And they're living it out. You can tell. It's not too hard to figure it out. Well, this ark that Noah built, what was it, an act of fear or an act of love? I believe it was an act of love. I believe that Noah loved God. God had told him in a lot of ways, but where the rubber meets the road, build the boat. And Noah listened and did what he said. And he said, if you do, you're going to be saved. Modern day, we're not going to build an ark, not that I know of, but modern day, Jesus says, if you'll ask me for forgiveness of sin and live for me, you're going to be saved. Here's the word. Live by it. You're going to be saved. People all around us, some believe and go on living a godly life. Some laugh and go the other way, and they'll be destroyed. Bible's clear about it. Well, Noah did what God asked him to do. Noah, not motivated by fear, but driven by love. We sing all kinds of songs in the church. I'll fly away. Everybody knows that one, don't they? Young and old. I'll fly away. That's a good song. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Young and old know that. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. We know that song and many versions of it. These songs are driven with hope, with promise of the Word of God that tells us what's going to happen, that Jesus is coming back. Charles Swindoll, he tells this story in his books where he worked in a machine shop. And he said there's a man named George there. And his only job was to sweep the shavings from under the lathe and the machines that were running. He said that George was born again. And he loved teaching the scripture. I remember him singing hymns as he worked. Many of them had to do with the coming of Christ and the sweet by and by when the roll was called up yonder. Late one Friday afternoon, about 10 minutes to quitting time, when they were all tired, ready to get out of there, Swindoll looked at George and said, pardon me, George, are you ready? And he said, huh? But he was all dirty. He was just obviously not ready. In fact, he looked like he was ready to keep on working. I said, aren't you ready to go home? And he said, yes, I'm ready. I said, well, look at you, man. You're not ready. You've got to go get cleaned up. No, he said, let me show you something. So he unzipped his coveralls, and underneath were the neatest, cleanest clothes you can imagine. Then he had them all ready. All he had to do when the whistle blew was just unzip and step out of his coveralls, walk up and punch his clock, and he'd be gone. He said, you see, I stay ready to keep from getting ready. Just like I'm ready for Jesus. I stay ready to keep from getting ready. Now, I don't know about the coveralls and all that kind of stuff and the clothes, but the whole point of the thing is that I stay ready instead of having to get ready. When you hear a trumpet, when the clouds split and Jesus comes again, my friend, if you're not ready, it's too late then. It's simply too late. It's not too late today. It's not too late today to say, I need a Savior. It's not too late today to say, Jesus, come and save me. Come enter my heart and my life. I want to live for you. It's not too late today. See, grace is flowing today. Mercy is flowing today. And it's all for our taking because the Lord loves us. Matthew 24, Jesus is saying to us in very plain, simple terms, so you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect Him. Be ready. The last slide of the day says, are you ready? Where will you be when Jesus comes again? You don't know that answer. I don't know that answer. Where will you be? If He comes on Sunday morning, would you be in church? If He come on Sunday night, would you be in a small group or back in the church? If He come on Wednesday, everybody's going to hell because nobody comes on Wednesday. Now, that's not true. Everybody's not going to hell because they don't come on Wednesday. But, you know, that's just the fact of things in life. Wednesday night's not very well attended. I missed last Wednesday myself. When He comes, what will you be doing? I don't know what I'll be doing. But I hope and pray that it'll be something good. I hope and pray that it'll be about kingdom business. I hope and pray I'm taking care of my family. I hope and pray that I'm doing what's right in the eyes of the Lord. I hope and pray I'm not doing something that has a question mark behind it. Well, it might be wrong or it might be right or, you know, this, well, we can have a few drinks or we shouldn't drink at all. I sure hope you're not having a few drinks. Well, I can smoke a little this or smoke a little that. I can be a Christian and I can do this and I can do this. I can be in an adulterous relationship and Jesus will just forgive me. Folks, adultery is wrong. If you're here in an adulterous relationship this very day, you're living in sin. And we can talk about the Supreme Court decision all day long. 5-4, legalizing gay marriage all over the United States. It's a wrong decision. It's wrong. Why? Because of what God has said. And that is sin. But I want to tell you, living in adultery is sin too. We can't just pick one out and say, hey, look at this one. Look at this sin over here. This light right here. Look at it. Boy, it's wrong. It's sinful. It's awful. We ought to curse them and damn them to hell. Sin, sin. And we can't pick and choose. That decision will cost America just as sure as I'm standing on my 2 feet. It will cost us. There is judgment to come for decisions. And Bill prayed well this morning. Let it start with the church. Let the revival start with the church. God help me and all of us that are gathered here today. I submit to you today that Jesus is coming back. I believe Scripture says that clearly. And He says to be ready. Now, when He's coming and all the details, I cannot give you those. But I believe He's coming again. Let's find ourselves being ready. Let's find ourselves doing the Lord's work. Will He come in my lifetime? I do not know that answer. But if He does, I hope I'm being faithful. Would you stand with me? Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for this day you have given us. We're thankful, Lord, that we could be here to sing these wonderful choruses and hymns and to praise and worship you. We're thankful we could open the Word of God in Sunday school and here in this sanctuary and hear what you have said. And Father, I thank you for this young lady who sang so beautifully, God bless America. And Father, today we're asking that you will bless our land. But I know that you don't take lightly decisions of the Supreme Court of our land. I know you don't take lightly sin. And I pray today, Father, that you would empower your church for a great revival. I pray, God, that you would rebuke selfishness in me and this church, in the church in America, that we would truly be willing to sacrifice our time and our talents, our energy, our money, and whatever it takes to take the gospel, to take this message of hope, to take this glorious gospel you've given us, Lord, yes, overseas and every place else, but right here in our own land. In our own land, people don't know that Jesus is coming back. In our own land, people are being informed with information that is called right when it's wrong according to your word. God, help us today and help our land. Now, Father, would our mind go to our own soul for just a moment? Not the Supreme Court or whatever else. Right here and now. Holy Spirit, we invite you to look in our own heart. We ask you, Father, today to reveal any sin, any wrong in us, and that we may know, yes, you're coming back, and we need to be ready. Now, Lord, if there's 1, 2, 5, 10, I don't know anybody that's not ready, may this be the day and time they humbly ask you to forgive them of sin and turn their life over to you. And as Christian people, may we pray like we've never prayed before. May we be ready to meet you, Lord Jesus, I pray. In your name, amen.